WSB2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in the Midwest, where severe thunderstorms are blamed for at least 5 deaths and several injuries.
The storms have left hundreds of thousands without power in Michigan and Ohio. They've also led to flash flooding. James Parker owns a bar in Cleveland.
It caused a lot of flooding in the street. The sewers were backing up. It was coming up over the sidewalk. We had a little bit of flooding with the drains, some of the water coming back up through the drains and things like that.
Strong storms are now moving across West Virginia, heading for southwestern Virginia. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Just in from Maui, officials there have released a list of names of the 388 people still unaccounted for in this month's wildfires that devastated the historic town of Lahaina. 115 people are confirmed dead. Search and rescue teams are still sifting through the ashy debris, looking for human remains. Former President Trump is back at his golf club in New Jersey, hours after surrendering to face charges of election tampering in Georgia.
What has taken place here is a travesty of justice. We did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong.
He was fingerprinted and had his mugshot taken. Correspondent Nicole Killian from Atlanta's Fulton County Courthouse.
The former president already trying to capitalize on the moment, selling merchandise on his campaign website. And for the first time since being banned in January 2021, he returned to X, formerly known as Twitter. He posted his booking photo writing, "I will never surrender our mission," and included a link for contribution.
Nicole, at the jailhouse, the Kremlin has yet to confirm Wagner mercenary leader Yevgeny Prigozhin was killed in a plane crash this week. But it is rejecting allegations Vladimir Putin was behind what U.S. intelligence concludes was an intentional explosion. Correspondent Deborah Pata at the Foreign Desk.
"The one thing Vladimir Putin cannot forgive," he once said, "is betrayal." The very word he used to describe Prigozhin's failed mutiny, it was treachery. Acknowledging the crash for the first time, Putin spoke of Prigozhin in the past tense yesterday.
The head of Spain's Soccer Federation now claims a very public kiss on the lips was consensual, and he's refusing to resign. CBS's Charlie Daggett.
Spanish Football Association called the extraordinary General Assembly in response to the conduct of Luis Rubiales at the Women's World Cup final, confirming it had opened internal proceedings. He was seen grabbing player Jennifer Hermoso and kissing her on the lips in front of a global audience, something she said made her feel uncomfortable. Earlier, he was seen grabbing his crotch in front of the Queen.
S&P futures are up 19. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Ask Sherwin.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. According to a WXPR report, Wisconsin is seeing more wildfires than average this year, but has overall seen a decline in wildfires over the last decade. An average year in Wisconsin will see around 800 wildfires that burn about 2,400 acres, according to Department of Natural Resources wildfire prevention specialist Catherine Cole. But this year, Wisconsin has seen about 200 more wildfires, burning a total of 4,400 acres thanks to drought conditions across much of the state. The village of Boaz in Richland County, Wisconsin, is now home to the first community-scale microgrid project in the state. Using a small-scale power grid, Alliant Energy developed the microgrid to be able to operate independently from the traditional grid in an effort to mitigate the impacts of frequent power outages. It will also save residents of Boaz some money on energy costs, and the project could be expanded to other communities. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
From nowhere, through a caravan, around the campfire light, a lovely woman in motion, with hair as dark as night. Her eyes were like that of a cat in the dark, that hypnotized me with love.
She was a gypsy woman. She was a gypsy woman.
She danced around and round to a guitar melody. From the fire, her face was all aglow. How she enchanted me. Oh, how I'd like to hold her and kiss and forever whisper in her ear.
I love you, gypsy woman.
I love you, gypsy woman.
All through the caravan, she was dancing with all the men, waiting for the rising sun. Everyone was having fun. I hate to see the lady go, knowing she'll never know that I love her. I love her.
The gypsy woman. A gypsy woman. A gypsy woman.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. There's a classic for you. Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions doing Gypsy Woman on a Friday morning. Hope you're having a good day so far. Welcome back into the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 66 degrees in Amory right now. Up in Hayward, 63 degrees. And most areas looking for highs today in the upper 70s, low to mid 80s, depending on where you are. Hayward today, mostly cloudy, chance of rain throughout the day. Sunny this afternoon, though, high around 78. And in La Crosse today, slight chance of rain until about noon, and then partly sunny with a high around 86. And I have some breaking news for you. This coming from Rolling Stone, and it's an exclusive. Evidently, they've been doing some investigative reporting and came up with this story just posted a few minutes ago. And we know already that our former president, Mr. Trump, is already in trouble in New York and Washington and Georgia and Florida. Well, we might have to be adding another state to that list. Arizona prosecutors are probing Rudy Giuliani's role as a fake elector kingpin. And they're also looking into Donald Trump. It says here, state investigators have also started gathering information on Trump's personal involvement in the plot. Knowledgeable sources tell
Rolling Stone. This piece just posted a few minutes ago by Adam Ronsley and Aswin Subasang. It says prosecutors in Arizona are aggressively ramping up their criminal probe into the 2020 fake electors plot aimed at keeping then President Donald Trump in power. They're not just looking at the fake electors, though. Rudy Giuliani is also now high on their list. Two sources with knowledge of the matter tell Rolling Stone that in the past several weeks, state prosecutors have been asking questions about the former New York mayor who became a ringleader in Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Investigators assigned to the case by Arizona's Democratic Attorney General Chris Mays have recently asked potential witnesses and other individuals specific questions not only about Giuliani's behind-the-scenes conduct, but that of other Trump lieutenants at the time as well. Prosecutors appear particularly interested in a number of notable meetings and phone calls, including a late November 2020 meeting with members of Arizona's state legislature convened by the Trump legal team, which aired bogus claims of voter fraud and lobbied lawmakers to take over the state's selection of electors, the sources say. State investigators have also at times inquired about Trump's level of personal involvement in the Arizona-focused pressure campaign. One of the people with knowledge of the situation says the campaign was part of a multi-state fake elector scheme, which, along with other aspects of Trump's crusade to overturn Joe Biden's legitimate 2020 victory, has figured prominently into multiple federal and state-level criminal probes. Giuliani's attorney and a Trump spokesperson did not immediately respond to emails seeking comment on this story. The Arizona Attorney General's office declined to comment. Arizona law enforcement officials have also been looking into the activities of former Arizona Republican Chair Kelly Ward and her role as a fake elector. As Rolling Stone reported last week, prosecutors have asked possible witnesses about a December 2020 signing ceremony where Ward and 10 other Republicans signed documents falsely attesting to be Arizona's legitimate electors. Arizona's attorney general has publicly referred to the case as an investigation into fake electors, but the questions about Giuliani suggest that investigators may be interested in probing pro-Trump figures who were higher up on the food chain, in addition to the 11 Republicans who falsely claimed to be the state's legitimate electors. In public comments following the Fulton County, Georgia indictment of Trump and his associates earlier this month, Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays called for patience, saying, quote, "We are doing a thorough and professional investigation, and we're going to do it on our timetable as justice demands," end quote. At this early stage in the investigation, it remains unclear whether prosecutors will decide to file any charges. It's even less clear whether the state attorney general's office intends to mount as aggressive and far-reaching an investigation as Fulton County's Fonnie Willis, who indicted Trump alongside 18 other defendants, including Giuliani, on election-related conspiracy charges. In parentheses, it says it was former President Trump's historic fourth indictment of the year. Giuliani convened the meeting of 15 state legislators at the Hyatt Regency in Phoenix in late November of 2020, casting it as a hearing in quotation marks, of the state's legislature despite its unofficial status. The meeting appeared to be part of the Trump campaign's pressure campaign to prevent the state from certifying Joe Biden's win. Arizona's Republican governor, Doug Ducey, certified the state's legitimate electors the same day. President Trump called into the meeting and blasted Ducey, who he said, quote, couldn't certify the electoral count fast enough, warning that Arizona will not forget what Ducey just did. It sounds like a threat to me. Giuliani, meanwhile, urged the assembled lawmakers to, quote, take over the conduct of this election because it's being conducted irresponsibly and unfairly, end quote, according to the House January 6th committee's final report. Giuliani had initially pressed Rusty Bowers, then Arizona's Republican House Speaker, who you may remember seeing in the January 6th hearings last summer. So Giuliani had initially pressed Rusty Bowers during a phone call with Trump to hold an official legislative hearing, but Bowers refused, testifying later that he feared an official hearing would create a circus atmosphere and make him a pawn. Last week, Bowers declined to answer questions about the Arizona investigation and related events, simply telling Rolling Stone, quote, "I am under counsel to not discuss anything at this time, so I must decline to comment," end quote. Bowers told the January 6th committee that Giuliani met with both him and other Arizona legislators after the Phoenix conference, where they aggressively questioned the two over their claims of thousands of dead and undocumented voters. Giuliani allegedly asked Bowers and other state legislators to help in recalling the state's electors for Biden, which the state had certified that same day. Bowers refused. We should mention, too, that Bowers is a Republican. And here's a quote from Giuliani. It says here, "We've got lots of theories. We just don't have the evidence." That's a famous quote from Giuliani, and that is according to Rusty Bowers. So that's how the story ends in Rolling Stone. Breaking news, just posted minutes ago. So now, in addition to our former president, Mr. Trump, being in trouble in Georgia and Florida and New York and the District of Columbia, looks like we might be able to add Arizona to that list. Hey, what do you think? If you have an opinion, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Going to take a break. It's a quick one, a short one. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
From nowhere through the caravan, around the campfire line, a lovely woman in motion, fear is dark as night. Her eyes were like that of a kid in the dark, hypnotizing me with love. She's a gypsy woman. She's a gypsy woman. She's a gypsy woman. She danced around and around guitar's melody. From the fire, her face was aglow as she enchanted. I'd like to hold her near and kiss her whisper in her ear. I love you, gypsy woman. I love you, gypsy woman. I love you, gypsy woman.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
We could see a little patchy fog right away this morning and maybe an isolated shower or thunder shower this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy, still muggy today with a high of 83 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 58. Tomorrow, sunny, cooler, less humid, 74. Sunday, sunny, 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
riding on the back streets. Springsteen, Friday morning. That album, Born to Run, released on this date, August 25th, back in 1975. And every one of the songs on that album are like mini novels with wild characters doing wild things. And he really paints a great picture in every one of those songs. It was a monumental album when it came out. Put him on the top of the charts for the first time. It was only his third album. And in fact, I remember not the week it came out or maybe the week after, Springsteen was on the cover of both of the big news magazines at the time. We had Newsweek and Time magazine. Springsteen on the cover of both in the same week. And I became a household name by that time, at least in rock and roll households, that's for sure. Springsteen for you on a Friday morning. Stu Daniels here. And man, I wish I could play the whole 6.5 minutes of that song, but we're already getting close to another break. So one thing I want to bring to your attention before we go to our next break is the fact that the Minocqua Brewing Company is now involved in two different lawsuits that may affect you. One lawsuit that the Minocqua Brewing Company is involved in is they are actually suing the town of Minocqua for, I guess you could call it discrimination. But the other lawsuit involves education in Wisconsin. Why would a brewing company, a beer company, be involved in education in Wisconsin? Well, Minocqua Brewing Company does have a super PAC so that they can be involved in politics and things that go on with the legislature. So they have decided to go after Wisconsin's parasitic private school voucher system. I'll give you some information on that when we get back from a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Local reports say at least five people have been killed as a result of severe storms in Michigan. WWJ-TV's Stacey Duford.
We did see some wind damage. We saw some hail. We saw lots of flooding. We're still getting reports on all of the damage from these storms.
Former President Trump is back at his golf club in New Jersey after posting $200,000 bond in Georgia. CBS's Nicole Killian says he got the money from a bail bondsman.
We are told that this arrangement was done ahead of the former president's arrest, and it was handled remotely.
COVID is spreading again. Hospitalizations were up 21% in a single week in August. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
I think if you are going to be in a crowded public place, the subway, an airplane, a crowded theater, those are the kinds of places I would at least consider wearing a mask.
An uptick in cases forced two school districts in eastern Kentucky to cancel in-person classes. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. As student loan payments are set to restart, over 12,000 Wisconsin residents qualify to have their student loans forgiven under changes to federal income-based repayment programs. Wisconsin residents making under $15 per hour won't be required to make payments on federal subsidized or unsubsidized direct loans. Borrowers who make more than $15 per hour could also see savings of around $1,000 per year on this student loan repayment program. A Wisconsin tax preparer has been charged with filing hundreds of false returns and attempting to defraud the state out of hundreds of thousands of dollars while taking tens of thousands for himself. 48-year-old Mauricio Castaneda is accused of filing 340 fraudulent returns in an effort to defraud the state's Department of Revenue out of more than $331,000 between February 2021 and February 2022. The criminal complaint alleges Castaneda would prepare tax returns for undocumented clients, then file fraudulent returns using their W-2 forms. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
You say it, my plan.
Rolling on whiskey, scotch, and beer.
I want to tell you a story about the house went blue. I come home one Friday, had to tell the landlady I done lost my job. She said, that don't confront me, long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday I come, I didn't get the rent, and out the door I went. So I goes to the landlady. I said, you let me slide. I have the rent for it tomorrow, the next day I don't know. So let me slide it on, you know, people. I notice when I come home in the evening, she ain't got nothing nice to say to me. But for 5 years, she was so nice. Lord, she would love a dubbin. I come home one particular evening. The landlady said, you got the rent money yet? I said, no. Can't find no job. Therefore, I ain't got no money to pay the rent. She said, I don't believe you're trying to find no job. Said, I seen you today, you were standing on a corner, leaning up against a post. I said, but I'm tired. I've been walking all day. She said, that don't confront me, long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday I come, I didn't have a rent, and out the door I went. So I go down the street, down to my good friend's house. I said, look, man, I'm outdoors, you know. Can I stay with you maybe a couple days? He said, let me go and ask my wife. He come out of the house, I could see in his face. I know there was no. He said, I don't know, man, she kind of funny, you know. I said, I know. Everybody funny. Now you funny too. So I go back home.
I tell the landlady, I got a job, I'm gonna pay the rent. She said, yeah. I said, oh yeah. And then she was so nice. Lord, she was lovey-dovey. So I go in my room, pack up my things, and I go. I slip on out the back door. Down the streets I go. She hollering about the front rent. She'll be lucky to get in the back rent. She ain't gonna get none of it. So I stop in the local bar, you know, people. I go to the bar. I rent my coat. I call the bartender. I said, look, man, come down here. You got down there. So what you want? A one bourbon. I don't know when. I've been drinking bourbon whiskey, scotch and gin. Gonna get high, man, I'm gonna get loose. Need me a triple shot of that juice. Gonna get drunk, don't you have no fear. I want one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
One beer, yes. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Welcome back in to the Stu Daniels Show on a Friday morning, 9:37 right now. Music from George Thorogood and the Destroyers. And those guys out on the road right now celebrating 50 years of rock and roll and blues. Man, I've seen George Thorogood many times over the years, and it's always a rocking good time, that's for sure. Hey, just before the break, I mentioned that we were going to talk about a beer company. A brewing company, Minocqua Brewing Company, involved in two different lawsuits right now, one which could affect you. By the way, I got some updated temperatures here. 73 degrees in La Crosse right now, 76 degrees in Richland Center with rain falling. And so let me tell you first about the Minocqua Brewing Company suit that may not affect you directly. This one, they are actually suing the town of Minocqua. I have a story here from news8000.com. It says the Minocqua Brewing Company is suing the town of Minocqua. A few weeks ago, an Oneida County committee voted to revoke Minocqua Brewing Company's operating license. There had been ongoing disputes between the company and local and county officials over a Biden-Harris sign that's hung up in the brewery. So evidently just hanging a sign that says Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, is enough to get you in trouble in the town of Minocqua. Back to the story, it says almost 2 weeks ago, the committee agreed to let the brewery stay open. Now the owner is suing. The lawsuit claims that the town of Minocqua and key individuals had a continued pattern of authoritarian conduct, retaliation, harassment, and intimidation. The suit alleges that the defendants obstructed the brewery's zoning applications without a justifiable cause. The owner and the company are suing for violations of their First and 14th Amendment rights. So that's going on, but here's the story that may affect you. That company, the Minocqua Brewing Company, which makes some really good beers, I might add, is also involved in politics. They have a super PAC that they use to support ideas and views and candidates that they believe in. And I have here a letter from the Minocqua Brewing Company and its owner, Kirk Bangstad, to people that support the company. I think it was sent out via Facebook, if I remember correctly. But I'll give you what it says here. This is a letter from the Minocqua Brewing Company. It says, hello, friends. And what this involves is school choice in Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin was a leader in school choice, whether you're for choice or against it. But, you know, the argument was that public schools were failing and parents should have an alternative to public schools. And especially low-income parents who may not be able to afford private schools. Why shouldn't they be able to send their kids to private schools if they wanted to? But the obvious counter argument is the fact that when you're sending kids, when taxpayer dollars are paying for kids to go to private schools, that money is being taken away from the public schools. Public schools is where we've traditionally educated our kids. I know that some politicians want to change that and are looking more toward a for-profit education system. And I think that's the crux of the whole argument. But anyway, getting back to the Minocqua Brewing Company, they've decided to do something about it in our state. This letter starts out by saying, "Hello, friends. I consider the post I'm writing today one of the most consequential things I've done in my life, and the start of the most important project that the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC has taken on since our inception in 2021. Today is the beginning of our legal effort to end Wisconsin's parasitic private school voucher system. With the help of your donations, many months ago, the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC put together a team of lawyers who came up with a legal strategy to challenge school vouchers under the Wisconsin Constitution. In this post, I'm going to preview that strategy and introduce you to a few members of the team that will execute it. Our first legal claim will raise the Wisconsin Constitution's public purpose requirement, which says that public funds can only be used for public purposes. That makes sense, right? Although legal historians will note that the Wisconsin Supreme Court rejected a similar challenge to Milwaukee's voucher program in a 1992 case called Davis versus Grover, at the time the court considered the voucher program to be experimental. In the 30 years since that decision, the facts on the ground have changed. Voucher programs are no longer experimental. They have ballooned and become entrenched throughout Wisconsin. As a result, our legal team believes that this decision should not serve as legal precedent to uphold the voucher programs in their current form. A second claim will likely arise under the Wisconsin Constitution's Uniform Taxation Clause. More than 40 years ago, the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled that the state can't take one school district's property taxes and distribute them to another school district. But state education officials have admitted that because of the Rube Goldberg mechanism used to siphon taxpayer funds to the voucher program, it's, quote, as though the choice voucher expansion is funded statewide with property taxes, end quote. By the way, if you are a property owner that doesn't even have kids, would you want your property tax money going to private schools or parochial, or I should say religious schools, where they're teaching a religion that may not even be your religion? I'll get back to this letter from the Minocqua Brewing Company. It says, these legal claims will be driven by a core set of facts. Some will relate to how voucher schools are sapping public schools of their resources. Others will describe how taxpayer-funded voucher schools, unlike public schools, do not have to comply with core educational standards and have virtually no obligation to provide basic services to students with disabilities. Collectively, these facts and circumstances reinforce that Wisconsin's voucher programs are, one, subsidizing private schools while undermining public schools, and two, creating a two-tiered system of state-funded education in which taxpayer-funded voucher schools are neither accountable to the state nor otherwise required to meet its basic educational goals. Given these well-documented developments, we will argue that Wisconsin's courts in 2023 can no longer uphold the voucher programs under the Wisconsin Constitution. And then Mr. Bankstead goes on and lists several of the lawyers that will be taking this case to the state. And I won't go over that list, but if you have an opinion on this issue, I'd like to get your opinion. Feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Education is one of the most important issues. You know, what's more important than education? We want our citizens to be educated so that they can make the best decisions, right? And we want them to get a good education. And you could argue that the public school system has seen some failures, doesn't always stand up to how we want it to be, but maybe it's time to improve that system rather than supporting religious schools, private schools. What do you think? Feel free to call in. Let me know. Got to take a quick break. It's a short one, so stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
You are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 5288. And tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
We could see a little patchy fog right away this morning and maybe an isolated shower or thunder shower this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy, still muggy today with a high of 83 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 58. Tomorrow, sunny, cooler, less humid, 74. Sunday, sunny, 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Thank you.
homecoming in Harlem late last night. And a magic rat drove his sleek machine over the Jersey state line. Barefoot girl sitting on the hood of a Dodge, drinking warm beer in the soft summer rain. The rat pulls in the town, rolls up his pants. Together they take a stab at romance and disappear down Flamingo Lane. Will a maximum lawman run down Flamingo chasing a rat in a barefoot girl? And the kids around here look just like shadows, always quiet, holding hands. From the churches to the jails, tonight all is silence in the world. As we take our stand down in Jungle Land. Well, midnight gangs assemble and picture
considered one of the greatest saxophone solos in rock and roll history. Big man Clarence Clemons on Jungle Land from Born to Run, released on this date, August 25th, 1975. Springsteen, man. That guy is out on tour now and supposed to be putting on some good shows. I don't know if you heard, but by the way, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Last weekend, he had to take off a few shows in Philadelphia, one of the cities where Springsteen is most popular. So people were concerned about it. But evidently, last night, he got back on stage and just tore it up in Boston at Gillette Stadium. I got a little bit of information here on the show from last night. Springsteen stares down death at intense and rollicking Gillette show. At Foxborough on Thursday, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band made good on a promise to bring the power and the glory and the life that rock and roll can provide. Says, and this story was just posted about an hour ago from last night's show. It says, for diehard Springsteen fans, his current tour has generated even more anxiety than usual. Yes, there's always the stress of trying to get tickets, which has been a challenge ever since Springsteen exploded from cult favorite into the popular music stratosphere with 1984's Born in the USA. But this time out, there was also surus, or aggravation, I think that's a Yiddish word, over higher than usual post-pandemic concert prices, a more rigid set list unusual for Springsteen, who's typically known for calling mid-concert audibles, and just last week news that Bruce had taken ill, forcing him to postpone two shows in Philadelphia, the latest in a number of health-related cancellations. But last night in Boston, dude tore it up back on stage. Just people say it was a great show. So if you get the chance, you got to check him out. Also, I want to mention before we run out of time, tickets are going on sale for Bob Dylan in just a couple of minutes. Two Milwaukee shows, three Chicago shows, and we've run out of time. So that's it for today. Hope you have a great weekend. Thank you for tuning in to the Stu Daniels Show. I'll see you Monday morning, 8 o'clock.
Between what's flesh and what's fantasy. Man, the poets down here don't write nothing at all. They just stand back and let it all be. And in the quick of the night, they reach for their moment and try to make an honest stand. But they wind up wounded, not even dead. Tonight, in Jungle Land.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin
or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228 EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.